There was me, that is Hardy, and my three rummy dingles, that is Lou, Mr. Bourgeoisie, and Stinky. And we sat in the Ben Farkle whiskey mint and trying to make up our gloop rascals what to do with the evening. The Ben Farkle whiskey mitten sold Whiskey Plus. Whiskey Plus Wrinkle Muffin or Cyanidae or Ibuprofen, which is what we were drinking. This would chill you out and make you ready for a bit of the old infra good. So we decided to dippity from the old babada dabba bob dabbalina for some grankety wiffle panty.
Man, you gotta cut that out. I don't even know what you're trying to say.
I thought we decided that we'd come up with our own slang. I haven't had any time to really look at the handbook yet, so I have no idea what we're talking about. Also, I'm not clear why we're wearing our protective cups on the outside of our clothes.
I did it because I forgot to put it on first, and I'm lazy. Also, I don't like being hit in the privates. Maybe that's just me.
I was thinking we could walk around and see if we could help folks out a bit. Do some good, like maybe walk under some bridges or creepy dark pedestrian tunnels.
Fire up the loud, another round of shots. Turn down for what?
One thing that always tore at my heart was seeing a poor old fellow with substance abuse problems singing trap music and blah blah blahing in between like he has DJ Snake's laptop in his belly. I really couldn't stand seeing anyone having to go through that. Hey, you need help, my brother?
Leave me alone. You want to fight?
No, I don't want to fight.
Stinking soft world it's become, you worthless pacifist.
Look, I don't think violence can solve our problems, brother. I'm a gentle soul.
Well, here's my gentle soul in your diggity flippets.
Oh, man, why did you do that?
Now get out of here before I call my gang.
Sorry, man. Cool it.
I find it a real handicap these days to not be violent. I'm so messed up and out of the mainstream, I believe I could watch 6 straight hours of Arthur. That DW is a pip.
I have Mr. Rogers posters all over my room. Do I care what people think? Yes, immensely.
Maybe we could just go around and knock on some doors and see if people want help with any odd jobs.
That lady with all the cats and the ceramic genitalia often needs cleaning help.
Ceramic? Talk about needing a protective cup.
It's a sculpture, you dope.
That's a good idea, Lou. I'll knock on the door.
Go away.
Hi. No emergency or anything, but we were wondering if you needed any help. We don't ask to be paid. We just thought you might need a hand.
Here's a hand.
Ow! What happened?
Oh, she punched me in the nose. Oh, dang it, that hurt. I think my feelings are even more hurt, though.
You know what you need?
What?
You need desensitization.
Yes, you're too gentle and sensitive. It even bugs me. Makes people mad.
Mad? Why? It's not natural. It's unrealistic. The world is violent and aggressive. This Mr. Rogers stuff just gets you mocked and stepped on.
Well, how does it work? Do I become part of a government experiment program where they feed me drugs and show me images until I'm violent and aggressive?
No, just watch TV and go to the movies a lot and you'll be fine.
I highly recommend social media.
You don't even know it's happening. And then one day, bam, you're screaming out your car window at an old lady. Cured.
I don't think I want that.
Suit yourself. But everything has to be conditioned. Air.
Hair.
Behavior. I think that's it.
Maybe you're right.
Here's an address of a movie theater that plays great movies that pander to man's worst instinct.
And here's a list of people to friend on Facebook who will rob you of your last vestige of belief in the goodness of humans. So I started the treatment, oh my simply ongans, and it made my fupric swim with cynicism and confusion. I sat there and watched bad movies and read hostile comments until I felt sick. And then, the worst thing happened. I pressed play on a video, and it started to play my beloved baby metal till I could take it no more and began to hate all things kawaii or sweet or fake cute. No, stop it, please, not baby metal, no.
Welcome
some Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we take a vacation from life, as we step out of this crush of madness, and we go to an island in a sea of islands where we can truly be ourselves for a while and think about all the conflict in the world and what to do about it, and then come back with a fresh start. Oh, my friends, I want to be that for you. Oh, mankind, it's both violent and peaceful. All of us contain the seeds of both. And if any of those seeds belong to a major corporation, we're in big trouble, I'm telling you. But we all contain multitude. Walt Whitman said that. He said, do I contradict myself? Yes. Do I? Yes. Do I? Yes. Do I? Yes, Walt, you do. Well, you know what? I contain multitudes, and you should try living inside Walt Whitman sometime. It's crowded in here, man. I don't even think you'd be able to take the odor for 1 minute. We got all kinds of shirtless stevedores and shirtless farmers and shirtless congressmen and all, and sea captains. And it's, I'll tell you what, it gets crazy in here. I can hardly hear my own thoughts. Oh, it's like a tenement house inside your soul. All sorts of types living in there. How you gonna get along with them? How you gonna navigate it? Well, you come to old Hardy White, and I'll just help you forget about it, change the subject for a minute, and ramble on about biscuits. How about that's the best I can do? I don't think any of us can figure out this life like that. Oh, we're just an animal. And we need both the violence and the peace in us, I think. Just look at monkeys or chimpanzees or something. 1 minute they're baring their teeth and biting off a finger. And the next they're delicately picking little fleas off their friend and eating them. Just like we do sometimes to each other on the subway or something. Say, thank you, friend, for picking that scab off my head for me. Oh, no problem. Anything else? No. Oh, I'm grooming you. I'm with my, like, we go to salons and everything, so I'm going to have a mani-pedi nosy. What's that? Well, they put a protective coating on your nose so nothing happens to it. I know I bump mine a lot on people's fists because of things I say. And so I'd love to have some kind of protective coating on them because I don't always remember my self-defense. Oh, that's how we navigate violence. Often, we just learn how to deflect it. So I recognize that people are going to be violent, and occasionally someone's going to swing at my neck with a machete, and so I have to recall all of my self-defense training, and then I realize that I didn't get to that part. So I have no idea what to do. Goodbye, head, I guess. Oh, my goodness, we're never fully prepared, are we? I was so concerned when I was taking self-defense with my belt color. I said, I don't want to change my belt color. Then it won't match my shoes. That's tacky, you know? But that's not how it works. You must advance. Oh, we have to learn, keep learning. Or how are we going to trust one another? Oh, trust has been broken down so much because of violence. Can't trust. Say, I'm going to trust this person. Are they lying to me? Say, oh, I locked my family in the car and I need $500 to get a bus ticket to Vermont. So, all right, why? Well, I need a six-pack of Heady Topper because I have diabetes. All right, that sounds legitimate. But a lot of times they're lying to us. Or say somebody's going to, or it's a practical joke. You don't know about that. It started with Edward Funk and Alan Funk. Alan Funk, 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 Alan Seuss, someone like that. We'll go around pranking people. Say, who do I trust? I don't know if it's going to be the candy cameras over there aiming at me, making a fool of me. So who do I trust? How do I know that? Well, remember that old game called Trust where someone stands in front of you and they fall back slowly, and so you set up a bank account so that after they're 21 they can get all their money in increments and they don't spend it all on drugs? That's part of a trust. Oh, trust me, I would catch you fall backwards. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. It's gotta be a tiny star. Look at you, little star. Who are you? I was a child star. Now I got problems. A lot of times if we get things too young, all comes to us at once. Oh, there's big problems. A little rich
kid. Look at Richie Rich or one of them. What happened to him? He's gone now. And he was awfully two-dimensional anyway, wasn't he? Because he's in comic books. Oh, the funnies. They can come to life if you're on enough drugs. I mean, I was in the hospital one time, and I thought that. I think I see Barney Google. I'm not lying to you. That was the first thing I thought, is the funny pages are coming to life. What drugs were you on, Hardy? Well, I don't know. Morphine, and they gave me something for my nerves. So I don't think I need something for my nerves on top of that, but I'm going to take it anyway. Because, hey, it's going to make for a great story someday, Lana, if I don't die. That's the thing. What doesn't kill you makes you a better comedian, I think. So then you can tell that story over and over again, city to city to city, and make people that you wouldn't normally associate with laugh. I'm sorry, look at Gas interrupted that. Associate, breathe. Sometimes I feel like I'm that comedian who pretended to be drunk, or did he? That's the thing. If I go, oh, years later, found out Foster Brooke had an alcohol problem. Who'd have thought? Really. That was his act. My act is I pretend to be sober. And I think it's working very well. I don't drink that often, actually. I'll tell you why. I would, but I got a bad stomach. And it's just like Clockwork Orange. I've been conditioned against alcohol because of the pre-ulcerative condition. Isn't that lucky? I'm so lucky that way. I like to take things, and if life gives you something, I'm not going to say lemons, because everybody says that, right? I'm trying to think of something else. If life gives you cancer, that's too much. If life's going to give you all sorts of things, and they're going to come unsolicited, like samples. You get those smelly, you used to get this a lot, as smelly soap samples in the mail. You go, well, holy cow, what's this? It's laundry detergent. Try it. I like it. It's a trial. You mean Kafka's trial? No, trial size. Like just a little, you like a little bit of it, and then maybe you can get a lot of it. And that's the way I think with friendships. I'm going to give you a little bit of Hardy, and then if you like it, I will move in with you. Say, oh, that's too much. You got to get the dosage just right. Oh, I tell you what, did I say dotage or dosage? Oh, they're so similar. I get the S and T confused. Depends whether you're Ashkenazic or not. Oh, my friends, it's a joy to be with you, because I know we all got problems. Oh, you're probably going through the same thing I am. I go, what do I make of all this life? It's so hard to navigate it. And I don't have life. Will you be my GPS? Yes, turn right here. Okay, turn right again. Okay, turn right again. Turn right again. Put your left foot in. Now you're going in a circle. I'm going in a circle, Hardy. I know that it doesn't matter. Oh, we're all going in circles. Nobody really knows where they're going, do they? Some people seem so sure, Hardy. Well, you just pretend to be sure, too. Say, yes, I also know. It doesn't matter, does it? If you're pretending, do you really have to believe something? I've been in all sorts of situations. Say, do you believe it, Hardy? Sure. What's the point of arguing? We can never get to the truth anyway. So I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to hear your sermon, because really it's the donuts I'm here for. I don't know where y'all get them, but y'all have the best donuts in town, and that's why I want to join your religion. Well, we have certain ceremonies. We're going to have to stick needles in your privates and all. Okay, I think I can deal with that, maybe. It's worth it. You say, is that a real religion? Well, yes, I'm not going to tell you which one, but there's one of them, if you convert to it, they're going to poke you in the winky-winky. And I don't know why, but I think that's just a little bit. Some of them you got to get tattooed and all. I don't want to do that necessarily. Not that I'm against tattoos. I can't ever make a decision. You know, I think if I said, okay, I want, I want the Ice King from Adventure Time or something on my chest, I think the next day I'd go, oh, that's a big mistake. I think that's a big mistake. I think I just like different voiceover artists or something. Tom Kenny on my chest. That'd take care of a lot of it, wouldn't it? Oh, that, why is it that we gravitate towards things like that? Because they bring us joy. When somebody brings us something, like the mailman just brought me joy. A sample. Get it? It's a soap. Shut up. I'm sorry. I contain multitudes, and some of them are stupid. And some of them aren't very clever, and some are. Oh, do you have to be consistent, Hardy? I notice that you're not consistently funny or clever. Thank you. You're right. I'm not. You have to go digging through it. Miracle Nutrition is like going to North Carolina and going to one of them emerald or ruby mines or something. So you got to dig through a lot of dirty rock with a lot of tourists, smelly, overweight tourists and everything, bumping into you just to get a little bit of emerald that you can't really even use. But you think, I found something. I found a gem. Oh, there's nothing better than that feeling of discovery. I think that's why we like certain artists and everything that are obscure. Say, I've discovered something. I feel like nobody knows about it. And just I know about it, and I can appreciate it. It's my little private joy. Then if everybody finds that, it's going to be so crowded. It's like that old joke. Oh, that restaurant is so crowded, nobody goes there or something. I don't remember. I'm sorry. Some of those old jokes I don't remember because I don't want to accidentally tell them. I'd like to block things out of my mind so that they don't come out of me. You know what I'm saying? Because I will recycle. I'm not afraid. I have a limited amount of thoughts. I don't have a bunch of them. But one of them has to do with trust and kindness. I want to be gentle so much. Oh, I look at my hero, Mr. Rogers. Please, please, please nothing be dug up bad about him and let it be a lie and I'm going to continue to delude myself. That's the problem with making human beings heroes, is that, oh, something comes along and they say something stupid and all of a sudden you say, I have no one to look up to. Look up to yourself. You also contain those contradictions and you also are capable of being incredibly noble and incredibly strong. So be your own hero. Come on, stop looking to other people. They're flawed too. Let them live their lives. Just be a helpmate to one another. And I tell you, how do I regain trust after it's been violated, Hardy? Biscuits! Oh, I like the big kind. I take them to Fluffy and melt that butter on there. Right now, I'm trying to watch what I eat, though, because I wasn't watching what I eat, and some of it I'd shove in my ears. And once something gets in there, forget it. It's stuck in there for good. I know that because I have little bugs living in there. It's like James and the Giant Peach in my ear. It's like, get you something, Hardy? No, just come on now. Just stop. And they whisper different things because bugs have a different perspective because they're so tiny. Everything is different to them. And the tinier the creature, the better perspective they have on life. That's why water bears really have it all going on. And tiny little water bear, practically nothing can happen to it. It's indestructible unless you kill it. Then not so much. There are things on earth that would be immortal if something didn't eat them. Isn't that true? Oh, yes, what about you? Did things go on? Why are we mortal, Hardy? Well, let me tell you, because I'm Lord God Almighty. I'm not. I don't have that answer. I can't even tell you what's in soda pop or something. I do not know. I do not know, and I'm not afraid to say I don't know. And I tell you, the older I get, especially my gender, a lot of older males at my age are afraid to say, I don't know. They'll just start telling you answers and things like that because they think, well, at my age, I should be wise and I should know these things. And it makes me feel weak and foolish if I don't tell you what part of your car is broken, if it's making that noise. But why would you tell somebody something that's wrong? Just say you don't know. The older I get, I feel the less I know because I see more of the world and I think, man, I thought I had it figured out. But perhaps I do not have it figured out. Perhaps I don't know everything. And perhaps the limit of my knowledge is beautiful. Oh, you see art by children. And you say there's something magical about it. Look at that. Look at, he thinks a body is just a straight line. And I'm past that. If I was drawing a body, I'd try to draw all these contours and everything, and I couldn't get it right. And the child just represents it as something just, oh, it's just an up and down thingy. True. How true. Oh, out of the mouths of babes. Like the other day, a child says to me, poopy, like that. He's so right. He's so right. And I interpret that poetically because I like to see poetry everywhere. How do you make poetry? I want to make some, Hardy. You just take two things and jam them together. Find some way to combine them. You find some things that shouldn't go together and then find an excuse to make them go together, like plaids and stripes. Say, well, they're both geometric shapes. Bang, put them together. Look, you got to look. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Oh, the creative heart and the creative mind. Is that how we combat this strange world? Yes, with our imagination. It's unbelievable what's in your head. A lot of nothing. There's so much room. That's the thing. Life has given you this empty space. I know when you're like in an art collective, if you walked into an empty warehouse, you would go, yes! Ah! You wouldn't say, oh, it's not jammed with stuff. You would say, look at the possibilities that I could do. We could put a rock climbing wall over there, right? We could put a soda fountain over there. And the other people going, what, we're an art collective. And go, okay, I'm sorry, I got off track. I thought it was our basement. I have dreams like that sometimes, that I'm in my tiny house or something, and I'll find a trapdoor, and I'll go down, and there's a basement the size of a hangar, you know, an airplane hangar, or the storage space where they keep the Ark of the Covenant in Raiders of the Lost Ark of the Covenant down there with all the boxes, but without the boxes, so it's not like that at all, just open space, and I think, what shall I do with this? I'm going to invite people down here to do all sorts of things. Like, watch me put on a performance. I'm going to do something, entertain you, help you pass the time. Oh, help lighten your heart a little bit. If my heart was too light, it'll float away. Yes, but it's in the protective cage. It's in your sacred harp of your rib cage. And you're going to float up with it. Don't you want to float up above the clouds and look down and say, oh, my God, oh, my God, put me back down. All right, sorry, you're not ready to float yet. Some of us cannot be free. It's too scary to be free in our imagination, but that's where all the solutions lie, or lay, or laid, lain, lard, limb. I don't speak the language so well because it's my second language. My first language is the silent language of the heart that I was taught in another life as a Zen master. I'm not going to fool you, I wasn't a master. I was a gardener. To a Zen master. And he's like, you're getting this all wrong. And I said, well, my aesthetic is more of an English garden. And he goes, that's so not Zen. That's not what we do. I want you to take those rose bushes and make them all even. I can't do that. I like a little bit of chaos. I think there's beauty in confusion. I think you never know what you're going to get. You let those weeds bloom, and what are you going to get? You're going to get Joe Pieweed, and you're going to get Queen Anne's Lace, and you're going to get, what's the poison one? Well, that's a chance you take. Sometimes you're going to get a poison weed, but often you might get some beautiful things, wildflowers. We always talk about wildflowers. No, we don't. Yeah, we do. I don't think we do. Some people do. Some people talk about wildflowers. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get angry. Well, that's just an emotion that's in there. You can't, sometimes you can't suppress that. I know like a lot of, and I've been around a lot of monks and everything. And, you know, one of the reasons that they slap you in the head is because they just got all that rage pent up. And they go, man, I have to slap this student. And then I will, after the fact, I will make up some excuse of why I did it. You weren't concentrating. Really, I'm so fed up with this whole communal living thing. My master would poke me in the eye. Or fish hook me or something like that. But that's because we were heavily influenced by our founding father, Mo Howard. You don't know, he said Mo Howard was a monk? Oh, yes. Yes, he was the highest level of Zen monk. You watch some of them Three Stooges and you'll figure that out. Just watch that and you go, man, there is something mystical and magical. There's another message from this, isn't there? That chaos. It's not quite like the Marx Brothers. They're a little intellectual for me, frankly. So I don't, he's still too clever. I can't relate to Groucho Marx because he's about a billion times smarter than me. No, I know nobody like that. That's that dang clever. More of my friends are more on the Stooges level. They're, what do we do now, Mo? Poke, like that. That's more what I'm used to, is that kind of confused saying, I'm not intellectually ready for this world. I don't know how to do all the dances at the cotillion. I don't know all the behavior I'm supposed to make. I don't know what a can of pee is. I thought you said can of peas. And life would be less funny if I just went and got a pig in a blanket and say, here's a can of pee.
than if I'd take an unopened can of peas and put it somewhere like that on your hors d'oeuvre dish. Right? Am I right? No, not really. Well, I don't have to be right. I just have to be distracting. Look over here. Look over here. That's what you want. A lot of people say, I like to listen to you on long car trips, Hardy. I said, why is that? Is it interesting? I'm engaging? And like I go, no, it's just that you change your vocal inflection so much it wakes me up. Wake up! Like that. And you've saved my life so many times, but just keeping me going. Just keep going, man. Just keep going. We can do this together. It's so much different, isn't it? Even having me, an idiot, rambling to you, just you and me in your car, can make all the difference in the world. Say, another human being who's willing to admit how difficult life is and how confused they are. That's what you want to hear. And just you and me alone, we can say, man, I don't get this stuff. I don't get all this philosophy. I was eavesdropping in a cafe the other day. And there was two young men having an intellectual conversation. And they're very smart. And they were talking about movies. And they were talking in such a language that was very intellectual and everything. And I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying, oh, I'm glad I'm at the age where I don't feel the need to impress. Or I'm at the age where I don't feel the need to come up with the word, some wordy word thing that's clever. And I can just nod and do that kind of stuff because I feel more free now. Just more free. I want you to have that feeling. Don't be afraid to use your imagination. What do you use your imagination for? To make an imaginary friend. Imaginary friend, aren't you a little old for that? I don't think so. Because, you know, sometimes we expect things of real friends that they cannot provide. And we burden real friends with things that they cannot help us with. And so wouldn't it be better to have an imaginary friend in your head that you could talk to? That would always say the right thing, or at least would pretend to listen. An imaginary friend whose love was unconditional. Somebody if you loved, they always loved you back. Now, you don't have to confuse that with reality. You can just say and call out to it, say, oh, imaginary friend, boomba. I say boomba. Oh, you got to help me. I'm feeling so lonely. And say, don't worry. Boomba's up here. Everything's going to be okay. You need a hug. Hug me, Boomba. And you feel Boomba's warm arms embrace you. And you sit there, the eyes closed. You think, that's exactly what I needed. I just needed to be held. You can hold yourself. Oh, you can do all sorts of things with your imagination. You can solve all our problems if you can only see them. And we prevent ourselves from seeing them by putting on blinders on our brain. Oh, you say your eyes don't have anything in front of them. But a lot of times people's eyes have something in back of them. You can't see the blinders they have on behind their retina there. But there's things that aren't going in their brain. And there's things that aren't coming out of their brain because they're afraid. Don't be afraid to be free. This little brain of mine, I'm gonna let it grind. I'm gonna grind out thoughts. I don't care if they're right or wrong. Oh, I need to be comforted sometimes, and so I look inside myself. When I expect things of others, sometimes I'm disappointed, or they hit me on the head or something like that. You gotta treat all men as if the universe, they say, treats all men as straw dogs. I treat them as straw hats. It's something you can wear, or you turn it over and you have a little basket. So people look all sorts of things. And you just have to look at them a little bit dispassionately sometimes and not make any expectations. They're going to lie to you. Oh, they're going to lie to you. Oh, they're going to hurt you sometimes. Sometimes fatally. Oh, they're going to love you sometimes. Sometimes they'll save your life. And how can I tell? If you shut yourself off, if you decide I can't take this, I'm going to trust nobody. Oh, you shut yourself off to all of them. You can't shut your eyes a little bit. They're either open or they're closed. You could squint. Okay, look, I'm talking metaphorically. There's always going to be an exception too. Isn't that fun? Oh, distract me, Hardy. Take my mind off of my problems now. How can you do it? Oh, I will do it. Because you know what you are? You're like a mechanical P peach. You mean clockwork orange? No, more mechanical peach. I like. You're a little bit organic, but you're a little bit more machine. Also, you're an organic machine. Imagine if your washing machine was made of tofu. Well, it wouldn't last, but apparently it would get rancid. It would. Oh, and we break down and we die and we decay, don't we? And yet, when we're working properly, what a magnificent machine. I'd like to share something with you. Something that gives me joy often is music. Now, I'm not a very good musician, but I love it. And, you hear that? Do you hear that even? I hear that. I got right now, I have my bass guitar out. So you gonna play something for us? I'm gonna try. I'm gonna give you a little, I like to give lessons in things that I haven't mastered because I like to play teacher. Children do that too. So I want to play doctor with you. Let me bandage up your foot. And they wrap up your foot with toilet paper or something. You go, thank you, fake child doctor. And that's because they want to have the joy of helping somebody, have the joy of having knowledge that can heal, but without having to go to medical school because it takes 20, 30 years. I don't have time to go to medical school. I don't have time to master an instrument. But I do want to share with you. I want to teach you. I want to get that feeling. Oh, yes, I know it's all for me, but I want to get that feeling of helping you. That's what this show is all about. It's me taking my incompetence, lying to myself, pretending that I know something, and then helping you, and then telling myself that I'm helping people. That's just what I do. And you know what happens? Sometimes I end up inadvertently helping people. So I want to help you now, and I want to help you play the bass in a couple easy lessons. Hi, I'm Hardy White. I don't even know my damn name. And welcome to my bass lesson. Here's the first lesson. So here's the easiest thing you can play. What's that? That's Queen. That's all I know. But you can do that, and you can have fun. That's all Vanilla Ice knew, and he made a whole song out of it. Granted, I think he got sued. But he said, oh, I left a note out. I leave notes out. I do that, too. I don't know all of a song. For instance, do some fake Jesus Christ Superstar. I'll go like that. I'd say I don't think those are the exact notes, but that's just my version. Yeah. My eyes are clear now. My eyes are so clear. At last, and I'm up here on the mountain looking down on the Jesus hippies. Like that. I don't know the song all the way through. Haven't seen it. But I like that riff. Every time I get together with people, say, is that all you know? Yeah, pretty much. And the beginning, here's the beginning of Hickey Burr. Quincy Jones' Hickey Burr is a good one, too. I don't know the rest of it. Butter hickey. That's fun. I like anything I can make up the words like that. I don't have to know them. Oh, it's so freeing. I just make up the words. I don't have to know the words. I just make up the ideas as I go along. I don't have to have thought them through. Oh, sometimes I just make sounds. Boom, 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 boom. Bidip, 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 bidip. Join me now and use your imagination well. Join me now, we're gonna think up something swell. Join me now, we're gonna make up songs as we go. That way no one can forget them. And we don't have to learn them, we don't have to practice. Oh, who wants to go to band practice? I do, I like beer. Hey, I don't want to go to band practice. The guy leads the band is fascistic. Oh, I don't want to go to band practice. I hate making mistakes in public. Oh, I want the joy of music, but I don't want to have to perform. Hey, we got to perform sometime. Don't you want to be famous? No. Don't you want to be in a band? Come on now. I question your devotion to this group. We're going to kick you out of the group. We haven't even played a gig. What are you kicking me out of? We're not even a band and you're kicking me out. Listen, either we're all in this together or we're not. Okay, I'm in. We're going to give it all of our time, lose all of our friends, lose all of our partners. We're going to lose all of our money, but we're going to be famous. Can't we just play for fun like people used to? People used to get together on their front porch with their electric instruments. This is back like in the 1800s, and they'd say, hey, and their amps were made of wood, and they weren't electric. They were mechanical amps. How did that work? I don't know. But a lot of them were designed by Jules Verne, was the only one who was really making 19th century amplifiers. Oh, and they were all over Captain Nemo's Nautilus. The speaker system on those Victorian submarines was amazing. I make up my songs as I go along. That's a metaphor for my life. I make up my songs as I go along. A metaphor for my wife. See, I don't know. See, here's a music theory lesson. See, a lot of you say, I'm more advanced than that, Hardy. I need music theory. Well, here's the thing. Anything is a scale. Did you know that? Anything is a scale. You just move where you start. Or just add notes. You add notes. Say, that's a major scale, right? You can do minor scales. You know, mix a Lydian, minor, major, minor, fourth major. It's all a scale. You can play anything. That's why jazz is so great. So how do they make it sound good? I don't know. When I play it, it doesn't sound good. But really, you could just be inventive. Use your imagination. Not everything has to work. That's the thing. Well, you get bogged down thinking everything has to work. Some things are just an experiment. Don't you get nervous sometimes when you do your show, Hardy? Say, hey, what if it doesn't work? What if people don't laugh or don't like it or something like that? You're just putting things out there. You don't plan it or anything. Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, you know? And I don't really get nervous because I think, hey, experiments mean taking something that you imagine and then seeing if it'll work. And maybe sometimes it'll work and maybe sometimes it won't. Sometimes it'll comfort, sometimes it won't. Oh, I just want to not make things worse, that's all. I know that we are all capable of violence, and we're all capable of peace, we're all capable of healing, we're all capable of destruction. But I leave the destruction and the violence to others. Some people want to prove that people are too trusting. So they go around, they want to fool them so they'll stop being trusting. Say, oh, this was just a prank. Now, I don't mind the powerful being pranked, but I have a problem when the weak are pranked by the powerful. And I see that a lot. I see people, you know, it used to be the jester would make fun of the king. Now the king is making fun of the jester. And I just think that's wrong somehow. I think when we peek on people, gopapoof, biddly boddly doody did. See, I don't need, you knew what I was going to say, so I didn't need to use real words. But I think that when we pick on people who are more helpless, that's not funny, necessarily. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make me feel better to know that somebody else is having it worse, necessarily. So sometimes I want to tell you my troubles. I know you have troubles too. Oh, your troubles are worse than mine. Damn it. I guess we're going to talk about yours today. I can't compete. You're right. That is worse than my problems. Who am I gonna tell my problems to? My imaginary friend will listen to my problems. I'm not whining. Sometimes I don't want to burden my friends. Say, why don't you reach out when you're sad, Hardy? Why don't you reach out to your friends so they can tell you that they love you? You know what? I did once, and they told me they loved me, and I believed them. And so every time I feel bad now, I just think, well, my friends love me. I don't have to go to them every time and have them remind me, do you love me? Yeah, yes, I still love you. What you got? I got problems too. All right, just checking. Unless I really need something, say, I tried to get this couch out my front door, and now it's stuck. I need you to come over, and I need you to bring your Sawzall. Oh, I don't, really? Is it that bad? Yes, please. I called a friend one time. My basement was flooded with human waste. The sewer had backed up. And you know what he said to me? I'll be right over with a mop. Now that's worth calling friends. Sometimes I say, oh, you know, I feel I got my feelings hurt today. You might not want to call your friend, because what if your friend has a basement full of human waste and you just have your feelings hurt and they're knee-deep in poopy? That's no good. So sometimes you need to tell your imaginary friend. I'm telling you, it can really expand your heart. Just talk to your head today. Promise me. Say, Hardy, you're right. Today I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to talk to the spirit in my head. I wonder if I knew that. I'm on the spirit in my head. I'm going to talk to the spirit in my head. He's up there and he's still in bed. Get up, spirit. Come on. Wakey, 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 wakey. So this fella that sometimes does repair work, a form of that I can't do. So sometimes you got to hire somebody else because you kill yourself doing it. I know a man knows his limitations. As Magnum 44 Magnum said. What's his name? I'm having so many problems with names now. I think my memory is failing me. And I knew that would happen. I knew Clint Eastwood. I knew that at some point that I would get to that stage in my life where my brain wasn't this perfect library. And like any library, sometimes books would be pulled out and not put back properly where they're supposed to be, and I'd go looking for them using the Dewey Decimal System or that weird number system that they use in colleges to put books on the shelf, and the book wouldn't be there, and I don't know if the book is checked out or the book is stolen or it's just in the wrong section, but it's not where I put it. How am I going to do my research paper without these important books that I need, this information that I know I used to have? How am I going to navigate life, Hardy, as I get less things in my head, as I can't recall things, as I lose my memory, as I lose myself? Oh, biscuits! Biscuits! Biscuit time. It's biscuit time. Oh, it's time to feel the things that make you happy. It's time to feel the things that bring you peace. And then you can go back in the world and say, I am now armed. Now I can look at people. Now, we just lost Rowdy Roddy Piper. Well, we didn't lose him. He died. We know where he is, but he's dead. There's so many euphemisms for death, isn't there? So you don't want to say, someone passed away. Passed up. That's what I do when I got gas. I pass away. Feel free to pass away. All right, here goes. Later, rip. You know, we lost somebody, all that. Oh, going to heaven or whatever. But you know what? They died. And we got to face that, you know, and maybe something happens after death. But from my perspective, you're gone. And so got to deal with that. But Roddy Piper was in a movie called They Live, and it put on glasses, and he could see all these skull-faced aliens like that. I want you to look out in life, and I want you to be able to see your fellow man clearly for who they really are, and not take it personally, that this is a monkey man, a monkey woman, a monkey child, and they're unpredictable, and they're capable of love, and they're capable of compassion, and they also could bite your finger off. They're both. So you have to learn all the skills about navigating this life, and just keep your heart light. Even if it's beat down, you can do it. You don't have to become jaded. You don't have to have callous. Well, you do to play, I guess you do to play the guitar. You can build up callus on your... Oh, this is a great metaphor. Oh, I'm jumping out of my skin ready to tell you. It's just like playing guitar. You can build up callus on your fingertips, but you still keep that sensitivity. And with my right hand... Actually, I play it with fingertips in my right hand, so there's callus on those too. Dang it. But let's say you use a pick in that hand. One hand is sensitive, and one hand is calloused. Just like Night of the Hunter. You know, love, hate. They're both on your knuckles. And people do get that tattooed on their hands, like that. Instead of right and left, which seems much more practical to me. Oh, what's your recipe for happiness? Biscuits again? I think you're going to the biscuit well too much. Oh, the biscuit well's nasty. Look down there. It's all green and fuzzy now. We shouldn't have kept our biscuits in a well. What was I thinking? A biscuit is a temporary thing. It cannot be preserved. Some of them can, the hard kind. Okay. Those pressed biscuits one. What do you call those? Yeah, I know. Okay, but I'm talking about a regular fluffy cathead biscuit. You got to eat it while it's fresh. And so you do that. Say, well, I'm not sure there'll be a biscuit there the next time I need one, Hardy. What if you're not around? Oh, people die. What if you're gone, Hardy? Someone will always take my place. There'll be somebody out there being silly and goofy and just wanting to keep you company. That's all I want to do is distract you for a little while. I'm not selling anything. What are you selling? Are you selling something, Hardy? No, I'm not selling anything. Then why do you have all these tables set up with all this stuff on them with price tags? Oh, here is a beautiful vintage Maikai ashtray. It's only $5. I think you'd like it. And then you say, well, see, you're proving my point. You are selling things. And I say, hey, I'm not going to sit here and argue semantics with you. I have to get down to my job at NYU teaching semantics. Is that really your job, Hardy? No. In fact, I had to look in the paper the other day in the help wanted, and I found something intriguing. It said, help wanted, dead or alive, part-time clerical work. And I thought to myself, that's for me. I've always wanted to be a cleric. In fact, I have a clerical collar. What are those for? Well, a lot of people like to keep their clerks on a leash. You know, that we know that from the corn song. That's corn with a K. And an N. And also an R. But we keep people on a leash like that. They'll get away. We don't want that clerk to go doing filing stuff that we don't want filed. We got to keep them on a short leash. Oh, can we keep people on a leash, or peep people on a leash, on a short leash? No, we must let them run wild. We are free range people, and you got to let your thoughts go everywhere. And if you try to trap them, if you try to trap those thoughts in a cage, you know what you're going to get? Veal. You're going to get veal thoughts. So that sounds pretty good. It's not. It's a big fat baby. And then you cut up a big fat baby and eat. That's what you want? No. Let them run free. Let those ideas run free. Let your thoughts run free. Don't restrict yourself. Well, there's some thoughts I dare not think. This is what I do. If you have some thoughts that you dare not think, look to your right. Look to your left. Look up. Look down. There's nobody around. You're all alone. And now think them silently to yourself. All right? And then nobody's going to hear you. The queen is a Nazi. No. Shh. Don't say them out loud. Just think them quietly to yourself and nobody will know. Nobody knows what you're thinking. Children figure that out pretty quickly. Then they start lying. They go, you know what? They don't know. That person doesn't know. I can just lie. And that's a beautiful thing. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a beautiful thing. That sounds like, you know, the beginning of lying. Maybe it'd be better if we thought, oh, there was somebody in our head that keeps us from lying, that knows everything we do, that's keeping an eye on us. But children know. They know right away. Excuse me, I'm putting down my guitar. What's that buzzing sound? Oh, that's just part of playing guitar, unfortunately. I don't have very good equipment. So buy a new cord, Hardy. Oh, come on. So children learn to lie, and you know, sometimes that's a good thing, because they realize I am the master,
of my imagination. And when there's nobody here, maybe it's just me. And then they think through it. If you mature and you get older, you realize, you know what? If I start lying to others, then I might start lying to myself. And that's the worst thing in the world you can do, because you are your best friend. You are the person that you need to tell the truth to. You are the person that knows. Don't ever lie to yourself. Oh, lie to me, though. I'll tell you what, I don't want you to be truthful for me. I'm really not well-known or famous enough to critique. I'm telling you that right now. So I don't know, it's not as funny as it was. Don't bother. There's nothing to chop down. I don't have any kind of inflated idea in myself. I don't get any money for anything. So don't feel that. You know, I mean, if you want to, go ahead. But I'm just telling you, it's pointless. So I would like, just lie to me and say, Hardy, you're doing a great job. Because everybody needs to be here. I fill a niche. So you might not need to have your nose protectively coated, but that doesn't mean that someone out there doesn't. And that's, I'm your protective nose coating. It may sound like it's pointless, and that nobody needs it, but somebody might. And that's why I try my hardest. Some weeks, I tell you, my heart gets heavy. And I feel discouraged. So am I even doing a good job? And bless your heart, lots of people thank me and tell me. And I know that, and I know that. But, oh, the human heart is greedy. So I won't hear anything for a long period of time. I say, am I doing okay? Am I not good at what I do anymore? Am I not lightening people's mood anymore? You know, and I really start to doubt myself. And I know what that discouragement feels like. Oh, couple that with actual problems. Say, oh, I don't know where my money's coming from and all. And I know what you're going through. I can't discount that because I have imagined it. And now it's my reality too. And once you feel that, you start to understand other people's lives and you behave differently. You want to become transformed? Become creative. Become imaginative. You want to be a better person? Start thinking about impossibilities. Start putting yourselves in others' lives. Start reading literature. Start listening to songs. Start experiencing feelings from the safety of your own mind. That's what we do when we go to movies. We can watch some. That's why you can watch a violent movie and not be violent. Because it's a safety. You know your brain knows that that's not real, that there's a separation right there. So you can experience some emotions just temporarily. I can feel what it's like to be a Sophie's Choice and lose a child. But if I was right there, it's unbearable and it's crushing and you might not survive it. But we can see that from a distance, say, oh my God, that's right. People have to go through that. Let it in. Let your heart be beat up a little bit temporarily. It can take it. It's like going to self-defense class. You let yourself be slapped around a little bit by your friends, by your teachers, by people that you trust, so that when you get slapped around in real life, you know what to do. You see what I'm saying? You've already been conditioned. Condition yourself not towards violence or peace, but towards imagination. Condition yourself to think of possibilities. Let them all unfold. That's what I say. That's what I'm here to do. Is I'm here to advocate imagination, nothing else. If you ever hear a political or religious message, discard it. Because all I'm trying to do is get you to be free. Look how free Hardy is. He doesn't care. I can go from serious to joking just like that. Why? Because I'm not being self-conscious. I'm not thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I'm just being myself. And that's me. And you know, someday I might be dismissed. Say we don't need you anymore. Like if I was a candy striper at the hospital, you'd say, come to me one day and say, Hardy, let me speak to you privately. So, okay, everything's going all right. Yeah, but here's the thing. A, you really don't have to wear the dress. That's really for a lot of the old lady candy strippers. All right. And also, you know, we don't need you as much as we do. We appreciate you, okay? But maybe we no longer need you because you're not able to really do anything anymore. You're not able to bring ice chips or magazines. So, all right, well, I accept that. How can I help? You can help now by stepping down, letting somebody else come in who can do the job. All right. And so someday, I understand that someone will ask me to step aside. Say somebody else is going to come in and lift hearts. And I can't ever think that it was ever about me. I have to realize it was a privilege that I was getting to play a role just like we all are in life. You come into life, and I got to be Hardy White. And you get to be Billy Hogemanson. And you get to be Jenny Farsis. And you get to be Mike Crowbalance. See, I don't want to say any real names or anything. They freak you out. And, you know, you get to just play that role while you're here. But it's temporary. And, you know, I've been around enough old people, seen people lose the idea of who they are. It's so fragile. So, man, be maximum you now. Enjoy it. Let your mind roam. Be free. Oh, the world will oppress you and put violence on you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to self-torture. Life will torture you for you. Isn't that brilliant? Oh, my goodness. It's so good to be with you. I can't believe I have this opportunity. I really can't. To just pick up my bass and be silly with you. To tell you silly things that aren't really jokes. It's exciting for me because my jokes cannot be stolen. Because they're not jokes and they're not funny. So nobody wants to take them. That's very Tao. See, the Taoists say, or Taoists, or Taoists, or Taoists, or Taoists. I think it's Taoism, but it's the Tao. No one really knows. And they say, the knurled tree does not invite the axe. Meaning, if a lumber guy comes around looking for wood, and he sees this beautiful straight tree, he's going to cut it down. All right? Because it's something he wants. If you got something nobody wants, they can't take it. That's the way I feel. I got something that the value, you have to have special training to see the value. It isn't universally valuable, so it's not something that anybody can take, and I feel very liberated by that. It's like Don Quixote's helmet. It's just a wash basin to Don Quixote, I mean to you, but to Don Quixote it's a magic golden helmet. You see where I'm coming from? You can make your own valuable things out of the invaluable, and then they can't ever be robbed from you. Oh, and one of those things, the most golden of all golden helmets, is your imagination. No one will take that from you because they think that it's worthless. But the things you can produce, you can make an entire universe. And I almost think that the entire universe has just been imagined, that it's nothing more than a possibility. Just a possibility, not a concrete one, and one of many possibilities. Just like an idea running through a mind, running through a mind. And I want to run through it with you. Just take my hand once a week, and we'll run through it together, and you'll see that you'll be transformed. And life will be much easier. And it'll just be like the opposite of Clockwork Orange. And you'll look everywhere and you won't feel sickened. Because you'll see it all fits together. Oh, bless you for listening. What am I listening to? You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope. WFMU.org. And 91.9 in Blessed Rockland County. And I think maybe I'm talking to one person, but I hope that you got something out of it. Oh, bless your heart, and I will see you again next week, friends.
I've been from such a long way. Oh, yeah. Let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. Let me hear you say yeah. Yeah. Brother drummer, has God been good to you? Yeah. Let me hear those drums. Brother Perry, has God been good to you? Let me hear the bass guitar. Brother Steve, have God been good to you? Let me have the lead guitar.
Now, the next voice you hear is going to be Reverend Isaiah, who's going to tell you some important information.
And you're talking about something that people are absolutely 100% eating up. Are you a diabetic? Are you a diabetic? Are you a diabetic? Do you have heart disease? Heart America. This Heart America has over 40 cardiovascular specific nutrient in one easy to swallow top full. Yes, my friend, it is a 32-day supply. It has that L-carotene in it, L-lysine in it. It has the arginine in it. Oh, my friends, I'm talking about, listen, it has that zinc in there. It has that lysine in there. It has the coenzyme Q10. It has magnesium, all of your B complexes. It has over 7,000 IUs of vitamin A, my friends. It even has that vitamin C. All the B complex includes the folic acid, pantothenic acid. It even has calcium, my friends. Man, it has that zinc in it. Are you a diabetic?
Up above my head, there's music in the air.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a bad situation.
The whispering spirits. here on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU, Above My Head. You can count on God, LP, from 1980, a record the Whispering Spirits released themselves, as with so many gospel releases of the 70s and 80s. And right before that, we heard the Gospel Trumpets getting us underway with The Lord is Good to Me on the Psalms of the Trumpet.